And now it's time for The Last Call with Pastor Marty Nutter of Faith Lutheran Church in Tullahoma.
This morning's text is from today's gospel reading from Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 34, the words of Jesus. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have not come to bring peace, says Jesus, but a sword. Now, there was a footnote about this particular verse, verse 34, in the study Bible that I use that I thought was really good. It stated, at first glance, this saying from Jesus sounds like a contradiction of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace, or a contradiction of Luke chapter 2, verse 14, where at the birth of Jesus we're told that there would be peace on earth, or a contradiction of where Jesus says in John 14, peace I leave with you. And the footnote went on to say, it is true that Christ came to bring peace, peace between the believer and God, and peace among men. Yet the inevitable result of Christ's coming is conflict. Conflict between Christ and the Antichrist, between light and darkness, between the world and the Word, and conflict as we see in today's gospel reading, even between members of the same family. And when I think of all the conflict in our world today, or just here in the United States, I've never seen so much animosity and hatred and division as I see today. And I believe it's largely due to the fact that we really don't know Christ. We've lost our way. We've lost our spiritual way and our moral way. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth, says Jesus. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword, a sharp weapon often used to make a division, a separation. On one occasion in the Old Testament, we see where King Solomon asked for a sword so that he might separate a living child and give half of the child to this woman and half to this woman, who both claimed to be the child's mother. Now, Solomon never followed through with separating that living child. He didn't have to. He was able to discern who the real mother was. Wise man Solomon. But he did ask for such a weapon to mark division. And we have different instruments today that mark division. Some time ago, I read about the Mason-Dixon line up near Pennsylvania and Maryland, that it was the line, the border, that was used to separate the North from the South. We have the Continental Divide. We have state borders and divisions and all the rest. And so often we'll make divisions. We'll separate things. We separate our clothes that need to be washed. Or we'll separate our material wealth in our will. I remember when our children were very young and still at home, often they made divisions. Don't cross over this line. Mom, David is on my side of the room. Jesus says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Many people at the time of Christ and even today thought Jesus was going to bring some sort of long-lasting peace on earth, that finally they'd be free from the tyranny of Rome. But Jesus didn't bring that sort of peace at all. And when he started toward the cross, where he would be crucified on a cross, in order to redeem us from our sins, many turned away and walked no more with him. The sort of peace that Jesus brought for us isn't the sort of peace that people expected. People expected peace from their enemy, peace on their borders. The peace which Jesus brought was peace with God. After a long and dreadful separation, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and his mighty resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now that we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him. That's the sort of peace that Christ gives us. Peace with God We who were enemies are now friends. We have peace with God. But it's not this milky, earthly sort of peace that we often think of. And that's the reason that Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And a sword divides." That's why later in this section of Scripture, Jesus also says, "I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household." So that Jesus Christ becomes either stumbling block or savior. Even in a person's own home, you might have under one roof a woman who believes in Jesus as her savior, and at the same time a man in that home that rejects Christ, or a son who is a Christian, and a daughter who is an unbeliever. Jesus says, "I have come to bring a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father and a daughter against her mother." I'll never forget, it's been over 45 years now, but I'll never forget one of my classmates at the seminary, Pedro Carceres. And it was in my first year at the seminary, and it was almost Christmas break, and we had about 3 weeks for Christmas vacation. And I asked this man, "Will you be going home for Christmas?" And he said, "No, I can't go home." And he went on to tell me that his entire family were all of the Jewish faith, and that when God had led him into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ and had led him into inner pastoral ministry, his family disowned him. And his family made it quite clear to him, "You are never welcomed in this home again as long as you claim Jesus Christ as Lord." "I have come," says Jesus, "to set a man against his father. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." The sword? The sword is the word of God, Ephesians 6, verse 17. "And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, a two-edged sword is a sword that is sharp on both sides. It cuts both ways. And God's word is like that. And when you and I go out armed with a word, it slashes where it will. And this sword, God's word, penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of a person's heart. And as this sword penetrates and judges the thoughts and the intentions of a person's heart, the separation occurs, and with it, the dividing line. So that there's either a joy and a peace at the sound of the gospel message, or there's fear and dread, despair and rejection of the gospel message. Where are you as that sword penetrates your life, your thoughts, your heart? Are you receiving him daily, or are you drifting further away from him? Come home to him, and then pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Read it, and then share it with others as never before. In the name of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light us sent. Dwell.
dark as night and deep as death. Broke the light of thy salvation, breathe thine own life-giving breath. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light us send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. Glorious how we press toward glory, and our lives, our hopes confess. Wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light us send.
This may well be your last call to ever hear and respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2.